This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sivasodhi in our Health and Living segment. Today we're going to be discussing about heart disease, congenital heart defects. When we think of heart disease, we often think of elderly people, but some heart diseases are congenital, and that just means that heart problems that occur to newborns. Dr. Marhisham Shehmood, a consultant pediatric cardiologist from the Pediatric and Congenital Heart Center of IGN, in the studio with me. We are going to discuss just that. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hisham. How are you today?
All right, I'm fine. Thank you, Mira.
Dr. Hisham, what is congenital heart disease? Can you sort of explain that to us, please?
All right. Congenital heart disease defines as an abnormality of the heart, especially the structure of the heart. And it's started as early as in utero. So there is abnormality of the formation of the heart, starting usually around 6 weeks of gestation when the mother pregnant, right? And this continues, and then when the child delivered, so the child had a heart defect. And some of these patients presented very early in life, and they requires medications, and some of the patients require early surgeries.
It is commonly known as a hole in the heart. A lot of us know it as a hole in the heart, but why is that a correct term, though?
Not really. The reason, because a hole in the heart is only one disease, okay? Probably one kind of the congenital heart disease, right? There's a few more, all right? Example, like there is a narrowing of the valve, or swap structures, meaning that sometimes the left become the right become the left, all right? And of course, a hole in the heart is the most common defect that we have. Some of the narrowing of the valve, and then some abnormal structures of the blood vessels that also considered as a congenital heart defect as well. So, of course, altogether, the hole in the heart probably comprises around 50% of all congenital heart defect. So that's why I think when we talk about congenital heart defect, hole in the heart probably the most common. That's the reason why the public put more awareness on the hole in the heart other than the other structures defect.
So some of the hole in the heart, what we refer to as hole in the heart, are atrial septal defects, ventricular septal defects. Are those examples of hole in the heart?
Yes, that's hole in the heart. Okay, and the most common is a ventricular septal defect.
Let's talk about
the because the defect involves the main pump of the heart, which is the ventricle, and then when the defect or the hole involve the transit room, what we call atrium, then they call it atrial septal defect.
Okay, and you know, so 50% are the hole in the heart, sort of heart congenital heart diseases, and the other 50% are, as you mentioned, those when you have narrowing of the valves, maybe a swapping of the structures of the heart, which happens when you're born, abnormal structures of the blood vessels and things like that make up the other 50%. Do Malaysians understand, or are we equipped enough to pick up these problems when babies are born?
That's probably our limitations, which is, I think, the awareness among the public is probably is not there. So that's the reason why we probably had some of the patients presented quite late, and then we may need to give more public educations, more awareness to the public, because this is the reason why I come to the show. And then another thing is probably nowadays, I think we have very young parents. That's one thing. And secondly, some of this defect, if you're you aware that we can detect as early as in utero. So there's probably another good reason for us to embark on continuing giving public education, so that the heart defect can be detected as early as possible.
What are common symptoms of a baby with a heart defect? Because in order for parents to come forward, they need to first recognize that there's a problem. And until, you know, and we wouldn't know how to detect a murmur, for an example. How would we know? What are some of the common symptoms?
All right. The common symptoms, especially when involve a big defect. All right. So the baby can present with shortness of breath or breathless. Some of them may have interrupted feedings. So they feed, sometimes they rest more than they feed. All right. And then the growth is important. That's the reason why when the child brought in by the parents to go for the immunization. So that's another avenue that we can check the baby's growth. All right. When the child had a poor growth or what we call a failure to thrive, so that's one of the common causes, congenital heart defect. And then, of course, the color of the baby. When the baby had blue lips, all right, and sometimes blue fingers, all right, that's a very so-called very prominent symptoms that we can see on the babies.
Okay. And immediately when they're born, should all doctors check for a murmur?
That is not necessarily true. The reason being, some of these babies sometimes delivered in the so-called the low-risk mother. They delivered in health clinic, or some of them may be delivered in so-called obstetric centers, which may not have pediatricians.
But do we need a pediatrician to detect a murmur, though?
We need at least medical officers to check the heart murmurs, and then all doctors should be trained to detect heart murmurs. All right. So the symptoms that I mentioned before is the obvious symptoms that we can detect other than the heart murmurs.
And there are some heart defects where there are absolutely no symptoms, Dr. Hisham. What then? What do you do then?
All right. The most common example for this is atrial septal defect. All right. Of course, when the, if you detect heart murmurs earlier on, then you know the diagnosis earlier. But atrial septal defect, or we call it ASD, is usually detected a bit later in life. All right. Even when the mother pregnant, then that's the time when we detect there is atrial septal defect. All right. And the reason being because atrial septal atrium itself is a not the main pump of the heart. It's more of the transit room before the blood goes into the main pump. So most of these patients, they presented a bit later, maybe adolescence, or in the adulthood when they went for their medical checkup, or maybe they sick because of they seek treatment because of something else. Then the doctor detect the heart murmurs, or maybe the doctor detects some abnormal rhythm of the heart. Then they know that they have a congenital heart defect, which is atrial septal defect.
Is it ever too late to detect a congenital heart defect?
Yes, some of them is it probably too late. All right, especially when we detect at their adulthood, okay, or the pregnant mother. But however, there is a special consideration that we need to put in for atrial septal defect. They have a so-called a lot of spectrum, maybe option
okay.
or spectrum of
okay.
Medications. You see, there's a wide spectrum. There's always options of treatment available for atrial septal defect.
Okay, that's just for atrial septal, but in general for congenital heart defects, you know, how detrimental can it be if you don't seek treatment early?
Of course, the late detection usually occurs in atrial septal defect. The other defect, usually they tend to present quite early in life, all right, or at least in the childhood, within the childhood age. Those with advanced stage of the heart defect is probably what we call heart failure. They tend to present very early. And then that's the reason why we need to educate the people to recognize all these early symptoms.
How common are congenital heart defects in Malaysia?
In Malaysia, it's around 0.8% of 1,000 live birth. So that means in 100 live birth, is probably around one baby with heart defect.
That is quite high.
It's quite high, yes.
Yeah.
We are true. We probably had in Malaysia around 4,000 new cases every year.
How serious is it? I mean, is it something that needs more awareness?
Awareness is one thing. And then secondly is probably, what do you call this? We need the institution as well. All right. For nowadays, I think we have, maybe I can spell out maybe 4 established center for congenital heart disease. And then we may need more centers to entertain all these congenital heart defects.
So 1 in 100 people.
1 in 100, yes.
Could possibly have a congenital heart defect.
Yeah.
And who is at risk?
Those who are at risk is actually the pregnant mothers who had a diabetic, okay, diabetes mellitus, especially those with established diabetes mellitus, and also mother who had diabetic during pregnancy. All right, so the baby is at risk to have a congenital heart defect, and the others are the mother who takes special medicine. Example like medicine for convulsion or the seizures,
yep.
Or the medication for depression, and also the mother who is alcoholic. So again, the baby is at risk to get the congenital heart defect.
Okay, we are discussing congenital heart defects, or you know, heart problems that occur to newborns, with Dr. Marhisham Chemud. He's a consultant pediatric cardiologist and pediatric at the Pediatric and Congenital Heart Center at Institut Jantung Negara. When we'll come back, we'll find out more about what a murmur really is. How is it? What is it like, the IGN experience dealing with congenital heart disease? Because IGN has been in existence for a very, very long time, as well as the types of patients IGN is seeing at the moment, and the profiling of them that's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. In the studio with me, Dr. Marhisham Chemud. He's a consultant pediatric cardiologist from the Pediatric and Congenital Heart Center at Institut Jantung Negara. We're discussing congenital heart defects, heart problems that occur to newborns. You know, earlier on, Dr. Hisham, you spoke about how some of these problems occur in utero, meaning while mummy is still carrying the baby, these defects are there. And can you actually diagnose them while they're still in utero?
Yes, we can.
How do you do that?
We can diagnose this as early as 18 weeks of gestation, right? 16 to 18 weeks. Of course, it requires a specialist, all right? Those obstetrician or pediatric heart doctor. Right, they are trained to detect the heart in the baby in utero, so they will be able to detect the congenital heart defect as early as that.
But what can you do about it?
All right, so that's probably our limitations. All right, because if let's say we know that the baby had a congenital heart defect, there's no intervention that we can do for now. But again, what we can do is actually counsel the parents, all right? Or the baby can be planned to be delivered at the general hospital, maybe nearest to the heart center as possible.
Okay. I was reading in terms of congenital heart defects, when you refer to hole in the heart, for an example, when they're in utero, in mummy's uterus, valves are open. Baby is not breathing yet, am I correct? Heart is pumping, but baby is not breathing yet.
Yeah.
And when they're born is when these valves shut.
Not the valve, but it's what we call the structure, what we call a PDA.
Okay.
The pattern ductus arteriosus. All right. So ductus arteriosus. All right. So this ductus connecting the right heart and the left heart. All right. Why? Because the right heart is actually pump the deoxygenated blood, the blood with less oxygen, into the lungs. But however, the mummy is breathing for the baby.
Yes.
Because the lung is not functioning. All right. So what happened of the right heart? all this blood will enter, will go through the ductus arteriosus, the structure that connecting the pulmonary artery, the vessel that supply the lungs, into the vessel that supply the body. All right. So what happened when the baby delivered? They take their first breath. All right. When they take their breath, and this ductus will close. Okay. Will close. In normal baby is around 1 week of life. So most of them around 1 week of life, but in premature babies, it's probably close a bit later. All right. So what happened if the ductus arteriosus doesn't close? So this will cause probably more blood circulation into the lungs, so the baby cannot breathe. All right. So later in life, it's probably after a few months of life, we may need to close it. It's either via device or by surgery.
Okay, and that is considered a congenital heart defect as well.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's very interesting, isn't it? How it all, your lungs take over when you come out, and it doesn't kick in until then.
Yes.
It's really interesting. So let's talk about a heart murmur. What is a heart murmur actually?
A heart murmur is actually a sound that across the narrow space or the narrow valve or the hole within the heart. All right, so this murmur is detected via stethoscope when the doctor listened to the heart for any medical examination, so for heart examination. So the doctor should suspect something wrong with the heart. It's either there's a hole in the heart or probably a narrowed valve or a leaking valve. All right, so that's a murmur comes about.
Okay, and then I've been reading that some people can live with a congenital heart defect and not even know it their entire lives. Some have huge holes in the heart and they've managed their entire life somehow. How do you explain that? Does every one of it need to be fixed?
Not really. Okay. From all congenital heart disease, probably half of them, 50%, 50 to 60% requires intervention. It's either surgery or the intervention without the surgery, meaning via transcatheter, all right, percutaneous. All right, for those who can live with a congenital heart defect, yes, if there is a small hole, example like a ventricular septal defect, it's a very small, doesn't cause impact to the heart. Yes, they can live as long as normal people. All right, they probably a difference. They may need to take some antibiotic before any dental procedures or any surgical procedures. All right, and as I told you before, like atrial septal defect is not the main pump of the heart. Okay, so they live undetected. All right, until sometimes later in life. And then when the pulmonary, what we call a pulmonary pressure become higher, then they have what we call pulmonary hypertension. And sometimes that's probably a bit too late when we detect there is a congenital heart defect.
What do you mean too late?
Too late when the pressure in the lungs is higher compared to the what we call a pressure to the body. So it can become reverse. So meaning that instead of the patient's is pink, so meaning that when we check the oxygen saturation may be more than 95%. When the pressure started to become higher than the pressure that supply the body, then it can become reverse. So that is probably not a good stage to detect congenital heart defect.
Okay, you said something about percutaneous transcatheter. What is that?
All right, so that is my expertise.
Okay. Ah, finally we got to it. Take it away, Dr. Hisham. It's all yours.
It's a transcatheter, meaning that we close any heart hole in the heart or the pattern ductus arteriosus that I mentioned before. Or sometimes we can open the narrowed valve, all right, or narrowed vessels via transcatheter, meaning that without surgery. So in babies, we use the vessels at their thigh, all right. So the catheter will go through into the small hole at their groins, and then this catheter will enter through the through that groins into the blood vessels, right, travel into the heart, mm-hmm. and then the catheter will bring over as well. We put in the device, and that device will be able to close defects that we think is suitable for the closures.
Okay, so what sort of defects can this transcatheter cater for?
All right.
Obviously not for everything.
Yeah, not for everything. But most of atrial septal defect, if the size is probably small or moderate size, we can close via transcatheter. In fact, now, I think mainly atrial septal defect is closed via transcatheter rather than surgery. All right. On a few types of ventricular septal defect. So if the ventricular septal defect is the what we call muscular type, okay, away from the valve, mm-hmm. usually that's usually suitable for the transcatheter closure. Most of the patent ductus arteriosus, we can close via transcatheter. In fact, now, even in small babies, in the past, I think it not used to be, but now, even in small babies, as small as 2 kilogram, we can close via transcatheter.
It almost sounds like how you would do a heart bypass where you send in the stent. Is it the same sort of concept?
Yes, same concept. But in adults, if more of a coronaries, more yep. of a vessels, all right, this is more of a structures in the heart, all right, or narrow valve, we can put in the balloon to open the narrow valve in the heart.
So you do that as well?
Yes.
When they're babies, and babies can actually take this sort of procedure?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see many of these cases in IGN, and how many cases has IGN actually dealt with?
All right. Actually, in average, all right, so in average, we had around 1,200 cardiac surgeries per year, and the transcatheter procedure probably around 900 to 1,000 per year.
Okay.
So half of these cases of a transcatheter, half of these what we call a percutaneous procedures is transcatheter interventions.
Okay. And I understand you have a long wait list for surgery at IGN for transcatheter procedures for congenital heart defects. How are you planning to deal with that?
It's not really true because we have a longer waiting list for surgeries, all right, especially to cater for complex congenital heart disease. All right, for a simple congenital heart defect, our waiting list is not that long. For surgery, it's around 1 month. All right. For transcatheter procedure, so we had maybe around 2 weeks to 1 month of waiting list. And then, of course, we have to do the case mix as well. All right. Not every day we can do complex problem.
Yeah.
So we may need to do the case mix. I think simple lesion and complex lesion in a day.
Okay. And IGN set up your pediatric and congenital heart center in September 2012, am I correct?
Yes.
Sort of to streamline the treatment of pediatric and congenital cases in IGN. But what are the types of patients you're seeing and what kind of treatment are they getting?
Actually, move forward from our previous pediatric cardiology department into a center mainly to streamline what we had before, all right? So we are focusing more of cardiac intervention, all right? And also more of subspecialties, especially the cardiac arrhythmias and pacemaker in children, even in babies. And also we had the grown-up, the patients that we used to intervene before, they become adult now. All right, so we have a subspecialty for adult with congenital heart disease, and we had we also has what we call pulmonary hypertension clinic. So this is those with, as I told you before, atrial septal defect undetected, and they presented with high pressure in the lungs. So those group of patients requires special treatment. So we had a subspecialty for that as well. And we do have those with Marfan syndrome. So Marfan syndrome, they tend to have a valve problem, mm-hmm. and also some, what do you call this, aorta problem, right? The vessels that supply the body. they become dilated. So this group of patients also we had a special clinic. And we do offer what we call fetal cardiac services. So the pregnant mothers, so we detect, we do fetal echo services to detect congenital heart defect, especially for those mothers with who is at risk. And we do have a pregnancy, which is, this is a combined clinic with obstetrician, physician, and also our adult congenital heart disease specialist.
In some of these interventions, patients require follow-up for further surgery, perhaps later on in life?
Yes, all right. We do have a wide spectrum of patients. All right, those patients with a complex congenital heart defect usually requires a long-term follow-up, maybe long life, and those with what we call a single pump, all right, a single ventricles, right? They are born with single ventricles. So those patients requires what we call palliative surgery. This is stages of surgery until the final stage. So those patients requires a long life and medications, and of course a long life follow-up as well.
You know, you mentioned 1 in 100 of us will experience a congenital heart defect. How many of them do you think would be serious and or would need immediate treatment, and how many wouldn't?
All right, those who requires immediate treatment, usually those with complex congenital heart disease.
What percentage would that make up?
That is around 2.5%. It's a small percentage, but it's a very significant percentage, because that's usually they presented with life-threatening events. So those babies, usually 90% of these babies detected very early in life, right? As early as when they are delivered. So they require a long stay in a hospital before the interventions take place.
You know, Dr. Hisham, when parents receive news that their child have a congenital heart defect, what comes to mind is always doom and gloom. What would you say to them?
All right. So for those mother or parents with a baby with congenital heart defect, the most important is for them to become stronger than the other parents, all right? And they have to take it positive and always get early treatment, all right? And then if they have some suspicions of the baby, all right, please bring the baby to the nearest hospital as early as possible, especially when they detect the symptoms that I have mentioned before. They have to take the first step and bring the baby to a hospital for the early diagnosis.
How well can people with congenital heart defects actually function in life?
Those with, as I mentioned before, those with a small hole in the heart, or probably the heart, the narrowing of the valve, it doesn't give impact to the heart functions or to the circulations of the heart. Usually they can survive, they can function as normal people. And those with a single ventricle, example, or those with heart failures, right? This group of patients usually has some limitation in terms of activities, in terms of the strength for them to do extra curricular activities. So we will provide some latest memo into the school, to the school, or maybe to those who are working. We provide some memos into the to their employees for to take some consideration for their activities as well.
Okay, so today, if 1 in 100 of us possibly has a congenital heart defect, should we all go out and start screening for heart defects? What's your advice?
Those with symptoms, I think, should go as soon as possible to have a check, right? So I'm sure any doctors should know how to listen to the heart murmurs, all right, and probably do some tests, all right, as simple as a chest X-ray or ECGs, so that should be able to detect to show some early signs of congenital heart disease, all right, and those with without complaints, all right. If they want to know either they have a congenital heart defect or not, it's probably a bit difficult, all right, because congenital heart defect usually, especially the atrial septal defect, okay, later in life then they have all the symptoms, okay. So the most important thing is you suspect something wrong with your heart, like rhythm, some palpitations, a shortness of breath, you have some reduced effort tolerance, meaning that you cannot run like other people's, then yes, you need to suspect those things.
Okay. And the symptoms again, vaguely, could you just go through the symptoms that we should be looking out for in our children?
First, of course, the breathing problem, because usually if heart failure patients, all right, they presented with respiratory problem. Right, respiratory signs. Example, like difficulty in breathing. For babies, they have interrupted feedings, so meaning that they break in between the feeds, and sweating during the feeding. The baby sweats a lot, and of course, when the baby doesn't grow what normal should be. All right, so we had. Routine immunization checkup. So during the checkup, the nurse can probably weigh the baby and then plot the graph to see how's the growth of the baby. And of course, the color of the baby is important. All right, if the baby had blue lips, blue tips of the fingers, or baby become bluish discoloration when the baby cries, that is something serious that we need to consider.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Dr. Marhisham Chetmood, Consultant Pediatric Cardiologist at the Pediatric and Congenital Heart Centre at Institute Jantungnagara, speaking to us about congenital heart defects or problems that occur to newborns on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.